Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
It is time to stand up for Israel. It's time not to be silent. God never, he doesn't sleep, he doesn't slumber. He keeps an eye over Israel. And he also says in the end, he will bring people to the valley of Jehoshaphat. All nations will be brought to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and he will deal with one issue. He will deal with what's happening today. He will deal with all of the policies, procedures, roadmap to peace, all these different things about how to divide the land of Israel. Because he says he will actually, it's Joel, I believe Joel chapter 1 or 2. Also, I will deal with those who try to divide up my land. Isn't that amazing? How you treated Israel. And now it's time. Think about this. There's a lot of doctrine being preached, but if you read the Bible, it's just plain as day, that you're going to come to the Valley of Jehoshaphat, a decision where God's going to judge us based on if we didn't stand up for Israel, if we just sit back and let something, I mean, not saying anything. Oh, I'm just concerned if I say something that I won't be popular anymore. Right. And I mean, there was a survey taken. I don't know what the survey was, but people, it was something, one of these popular, politically correct statements. I'm not going to say what it was, but it's just like, they know if you actually buy into that statement and say it, then you won't be popular with anybody. Hmm. So they said, well, you want say people to say you're this, or would you rather be identified as a cannibal? Serious.
Wow.
Well, you know, we're not going to make the facts, you know, that we're just going to tell you that's what was being said. And the people, because they're so concerned about being identified with this narrative has pushed so hard by the adversary, that what they're using against Israel and the United Nations.
Wow.
Using the United Nations against Israel, but they said they would rather be a cannibal. They'd rather be identified as a cannibal, which, by the way, is actually eating people. Instead of having a wrong feeling towards folks, they'd rather be identified as someone who actually eats the person instead of talks bad about them.
Wow.
All righty.
Come on now.
I'm serious. I'm not going to give it any airtime in regards to what it was, because, you know, it's what's being done. It's the bipolar argument of Alinsky, you know, Saul Alinsky, and it's been happening. It's the voting block, if you would, too, of United Nations that's always saying that, you know, Israel is, you know, a racist nation. And it's like, how are they blessing every ethnos, every nation on the face of the earth? And but it's not about Israel, but it's just that you'd rather be identified as a cannibal. In other words, instead of actually saying anything bad about you, I'll just eat you.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's insane.
But it's true. It's true.
Crazy.
We just might make that available to you on the torch. I don't know. I don't know if I want to give it any actual... But I'm thinking that's how effective when you put things out like Woodrow Wilson did, President Woodrow Wilson. He sent teachers out to begin to just teach the narrative. And today you got media that's constantly just pushing narratives. You know, guns are bad and Christians are bad and Jews are bad. And, you know, all the things that are good are being called bad. All the things that are bad are called good. And you just start buying in that narrative. It's like, oh, I do. I just don't want anybody to think I like Israel.
Right.
But I will eat a Jew. Is that crazy? That is crazy.
Crazy.
By the way, if you don't know that, that's crazy. It's crazy. And sticks and stones may break my bones, but political correctness, how's it go? But words will never hurt. Oh, no, hurt. Words will hurt. Yeah. I'd rather eat you. I'm going to have to eat you.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I can imagine how terrible Pat tastes. Hot sauce and...
And protein bars.
And protein bar. Oh, he gave me one of those. I can't talk about it. I haven't dropped them off for those. What? Donna comes in my office. Getting back to what's going on here, that is news, but we're not going to give it a lot of details on it. Israel, right now, I want you to see this. This is a video of a wedding taking place in Israel at nighttime. And understand, you know, hundreds and hundreds of missiles are being fired from Hamas, from Gaza and Hamas, and we're also going to show you how close Gaza is, and how when you're looking at southern Israel, you can visually see it's about a half a mile. It's about a half a mile. And so imagine missiles are flying over continually. So you're living your life, you know. I mean, even when this is, think about this. This is what the Lord says. He says, people will be marrying and given in marriage and going about their day. And then suddenly he will return and take his people with him. And you'll be left behind. One man will be gone and one will be left standing. And so here you have right now a couple being married, you know, in Israel with all this bombardment. And I want you to see this, and I want you to look up in the sky, because you're going to see in this dark sky a missile coming with the intentions to be able to kill these folks just for existing, just for living. Watch this.
כל הקהל ייכנס עכשיו לתוך האולם למרחב מוגן, חבר'ה, יש לנו מעל הרוסטילים, כולם ייכנס לאולם, כולם
This is from Mel Online, and I mean, it's just tragic. I mean, think about it. How many people is getting married today in America? Mm-hmm. How many people is going about your normal day? I mean, you stopped and got your cappuccino from Starbucks. You pulled over and got your gas. You know, you dressed yourself. You didn't even once think about that you could die on the way to work, that you could be bombed just for existing, just for existing. And this is what's happening right now in Israel. And this is the Lord specifically says. He says that he will bless those who bless Israel, and he will curse those who curse Israel. He's going to deal. He watches over Israel, and he's watching you. He really is. And he's watching me, and he's watching our response. What are we going to do? What are we going to do when the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that for his name's sake, is being persecuted? Mm-hmm. What are we going to do when Hitler begins his beginning days of saying and putting these threats out? Everybody said, he's a crazy man. Don't pay attention to Hitler. You know, and it's like, they didn't pay attention to him, and look what happened.
That's right. Uh-huh.
And today people are going, oh, that's just, what do you mean it's just as missiles going into your community? I mean, you're going to see in this program, this one particular lady that came, missile came right through her roof, injured her. She was in 2 years of rehab, almost killed her child. I mean, just tragedy. And we've got to connect. We've got to empathize. I mean, the enemy's, the love of the body will grow cold in the last days. We got to stay soft-hearted. We got to stay connected. We want God to see that we care. And one way we do that is pray. You know, pray today. Pray continually for the peace of Israel and the protection of Israel. And pray for the salvation of Israel. Pray for the soldiers. 40,000 of them are being called to service, to be able to potentially have boots on the ground, a war, if you would, in Gaza, begin to deal with Hamas that is there. And, I mean, it is just amazingly tragic. And first I want to tell to you about, you know, ABC News is reporting this new app that's been developed, and it's called the Red Alert Israel app. And it used to be, as you'll hear some of the stories we're talking about today, that you had to keep your radio off and your windows down when you drove around, because you had to be able to hear the sirens so you could park your car and get off, just like we talked about just yesterday with a couple that had their newborn baby coming back from the hospital. They heard the alarms. They had to get out of their car and cuddle their baby. And this is what Avi Mizrahi is writing to me about yesterday, and go in a ditch area to comfort their baby. Brand new baby, and you don't know if they're going to be blown up or not. Amazing. Just horrific. You know, in Proverbs, I believe chapter 5, he says some things that God hates. He hates the hands that shed innocent blood. He hates the hands that shed innocent blood. And, but I want you to see the contrast between what most of the world uses apps for and your smartphone for, and what Israel uses smartphones for. You see that right there? We want to be able to, Yes. Watch this. The contrast between how you're using your smartphone and how Israel's having to use their smartphone.
In the U.S., you use your phone to locate the nearest coffee shop. Israel, you can use it to find the nearest bomb shelter. In the UK, you use your phone to find out if it's going to rain. In Israel, you can find out if it's going to rain missiles. In France, you use your phone to play Angry Birds. In Israel, you can play Missile Defense. So why not check out these popular apps and get a taste of modern life under the shadow of terror?
It is amazing watching what Israel's going through, and it's like, yeah, we are looking for the local coffee shop. We are checking out the weather, and they're finding out if I'll live or not. If I'll live or not. As a matter of fact, I want you to see this. I want you to see about this application, how it works. It's called Red Alert Israel. Red Alert Israel. Just kind of see. I want you to download it on your smartphone, and I want you to connect with and realize that when we get back from this, I want you to be able to realize that first Israel. First the Jew, then the Christian.
First the Saturday people, then the Sunday people.
Yeah, first the Saturday people, which would be, you know, Israel, and then the Sunday people. And if we're not going to stand up for the Saturday people, there's going to be nobody to stand up for the Sunday people.
Yeah, that's right.
Take a look at this, how this Red Alert Israel works.
When rockets from Gaza come flying towards Israeli towns, time is of the essence. People have to run for cover, and this new app can buy them a few additional seconds. It's called Color Red and sends out an alert when a rocket alarm goes off. Believe it or not, the idea for the Color Red app comes from a 13-year-old. Liran Be'er lives in Beersheva, a town near the Gaza border that is often targeted by rockets. There are people that need to know what is happening, and the regular services don't help them enough. So I wanted to be the one who gave them the right information, he tells me. And just then, another alarm goes off. Israel has a sophisticated warning system for impending rocket strikes, with sirens alerting citizens to take cover. But people inside their homes or in office buildings don't always hear the sirens. We got caught up in several rocket alerts while shooting the story.
We have to get under shelter right now because there's another air siren alarm here in Beersheva. But thanks to this new app, some people at least have a little bit more time to get to shelter because they get the alerts really quickly. Let's go.
The app, created by an application developer, is free. It seems to work so well, it's been downloaded more than 130,000 times since the conflict began.
How many of your friends have this as well?
To all. The soldiers too, and the police too, to all.
Israel's government even sent out a notice urging news people to download the Color Red app. The army says any application that warns people of rocket strikes helps in the effort to keep citizens safe.
The time that people have here to run to shelters is between 15 and 50 seconds. So any mobile device that can help, I think it's a good solution.
And Leon Be'er says he thought up the application in his little room at his parents' home in Beersheva. I'm very proud of myself, he says. A very small thing that I did is doing a great thing for the people in the south of this country. Liran Be'er spends a lot of time updating the Color Red Facebook page these days. He's got plenty of time. His school is closed because of the ongoing rocket attacks. Fred Pleiken, CNN, Beersheva, Israel.
13 years old. He's not in school because the school's closed down because of the bombings that are taking place. And he invents this application that warns Israel, and it warns, you can download it now. Make sure you download it. If you want to find out more, you can go to VFNTV.com and look for it, hopefully on the front. Hopefully make sure it's on the front page so people can download the app as we're standing for Israel. But you can search for it in your app store by Red Alert Israel. And when we come back, we're going to show you what it's like and how important it is to be able to stand up now for what's right. A lot of people think they're going to wait till a certain point when it gets really, 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 really bad. It's like the hurricanes. I'm going to go wait. When it gets really, really, when it gets really, really bad, I'm going to leave. And then they take off and they find out they're stuck on a major highway somewhere because everybody else thought the same way.
Yeah.
And you live out the storm on a very dangerous highway.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wait too late, you're bait.
Mm.
And now is the time to stand up for what's right. Now is the time to stand up for Israel. Now is the time to speak up for the Saturday people so that the Sunday people will have somebody who stands up for them. We are connecting with what is it like to be in a war zone? What is it like to have missiles coming over your borders and into your cities going towards Jerusalem? I can only imagine what it's going to be like for those that are buying into this horrific, evil, straight from hell narrative that it's okay to fire bombs into Israel, missiles into Israel, and kill them just because they exist. I mean, imagine how evil that really is. I mean, if you could just, you know, let this light shine in your mind and heart just for a moment and look at what's really going on. Mm-hmm. I mean, you would say this, think about it. If somebody was bombing anybody, you would be empathetic towards them. You would be, oh, I know that they shouldn't treat them that way. I mean, like we are towards the children at the border, and our hearts go out to them. Mm-hmm. Even though they're coming in illegally, we still care about them. But if we care about an illegal alien, how much should we care about the Jews in their own country that are being bombed for being a Jew? Mm-hmm. You know? And blessing so many folks. And these embedded reporters that are there, and we have this segment from CNN. I want you to be able to see this. I want you to be able to connect to those. And we're looking for more embedded reporters in Israel so that we can make available to you, you know, more stories straight from what's taking place from the heart of the Israelis. But also, what is it like to be an embedded reporter? And watch, this is what it's like. And this is what it's like day to day. As the citizens of Israel are there, but this is happening. You can see a reporter because they have a video pointed on them. So if you have a video pointed on you, obviously it's going to look like you're getting the gunfire. But truly, this is what's happening to everybody.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, take a look at this, and we got to remember to pray protection over these embedded reporters. This is from CNN.
Sometimes you find the news, and sometimes the news finds you.
Live from Gaza.
I don't know if you can just hear that.
At night, during live shots, during the day, between live shots.
Whoa! Take him now! Somebody take him now!
Taking him live means the possibility of live fire on the air. A reporter needs to watch his back.
Still appears to be in full swing. If you go around this area, there was just a. Rocket either fired.
At any moment, a live guest in Gaza might be interrupted by Israeli bombing.
What goes through your mind?
Or a reporter in Israel might be interrupted by sirens warning of incoming rockets fired by Hamas from Gaza.
Oh, Carol, we have an alarm going off right now. I'm going to have to seek cover. We're going to go over here. Let's take the camera off the tripod, though.
Go.
What you have to do is you have to get down on the ground and wait for it to pass.
I want to let you hear that. Okay, that is exactly, all right, I'm going to move out of the way.
You think we can get up again? All right, are you guys still there, Carol?
We are still there, and we're nervous, Fred.
But the most nerve-wracking explosion caught on tape caught Anders and Cooper as he launched into a live shot from a building in Gaza City. Watch for the flash behind it.
Also, two media centers built.
Whoa.
That was a rather large explosion.
Yeah.
Online posters tried to figure out how close the blast came to Anderson by timing the interval between seeing the flash and hearing the sound. It was about 1.5 seconds, calculated one, so roughly 350 to 400 meters, still a somewhat close call, approximately the length of four football fields. So while Anderson may have laughed, it was a nervous laugh. As a 23-year-old in the Bosnian War, Anderson put himself out there.
The sniper shots are hitting just a few, maybe about 100 or so feet away from here.
Two decades and a lot of white hair later.
But that was probably the largest explosion that we've heard just in the past.
He's smart enough to at least pick up a flak jacket, if not to put it on.
Or two.
Genimo, CNN.
Whoa.
New York.
We've got to be able to remember to pray protection over our journalists that are there reporting for us to give us the news that's going on. And Anderson Cooper is amazing. For all these years, he's gone right into where the battles are. And look, his life's being risked just to be able to get us footage of what's taking place. And so we can, as Christians, we can hear that and connect to what's happening. Mm-hmm. And when you're talking that as many meters, you're looking at just, you know, feet away, maybe a football field away from where he was standing right there. And what says the missile lands here versus there?
Right.
Especially when you have wild folks just firing shots. Of course, that was Israel. He was in Gaza, so Israel's actually strategic. You're safer in Gaza with what's going on because Israel is strategically, surgically dealing with the ones who are firing the missiles and making every effort, and they have a thing called the knock. And what they do, right before they deal with a particular area, they actually communicate with everybody in that area that gives them a chance to be able to get out of there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's called the knock. And then what they're found out is, though, but some of the people from Hamas are sending people to the area so that there would be victims in the context of that. But Israel actually comes and lets everybody know, clear out, we're going to remove all this infrastructure. You know, the bombs, the tunnels, and all those different things. But in the eyes of God, that is just amazingly merciful and kind. And they're doing is stopping the Hamas and the adversaries from shooting missiles into their country. Mm-hmm. And but there's a huge narrative, which means people are saying things and reporting things and really making things up, saying, you know, Israel's bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're condemning Israel for defending herself.
Right.
And it's like, you would defend yourself. You would defend yourself. And they have a right to exist. Israel has a right to exist. And they're so, listen, they are so kind and merciful that you're going to find out after this break that how close, it's like a half a mile from the southern city where they're firing missiles into it to Gaza. But in that, they are... He shows the power lines, and they're providing power to Gaza. And so the power lines are going to Gaza, and then the ones that are getting the power from Israel, that they're firing back and trying to kill the people who are actually providing power for them.
Wow.
Is that not crazy? The same thing was happening to Lebanon in earlier years, and they would cut the power off to Lebanon. Think about it. Israel's giving their adversary power and water and help and all these different things. If anything, I mean, think about this in the context of how God is going to hold us accountable. If we can't just tangibly see with our own eyes the kindness and the mercy and the blessing on Israel that God has done and acknowledge that and stand up and say, this is not right, I mean, what's it going to be like at the judgment seat? Mm. I mean, a lot of people will tell you, "Hey, don't worry about it at all. I mean, you got your, you know, your movies and your entertainment and your frappuccinos. You're just so busy with your car payment and all this stuff." This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, "When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was in prison, you know, you came and visited me. When I was sick, you came and nursed me back to health. And when I was being bombed by Hamas, you stood for me." When did we see this? Whatever you did to the least of these of mine, you did to me.
Yeah.
Then he'll say to the others, you know, when I was thirsty, you didn't give me anything to drink. When I was in prison, you didn't come and visit me. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. When I was sick, you didn't nurse me. When I was being bombed before all the media of all the sources, you were getting texts on your phone, you were getting newscasts, you had 700 channels on your television telling you I was getting bombed, telling you I was being treated unjustly. And you didn't even care.
Wow.
Is that not what he says?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he says, this is what the end day is going to be like. And he's going to divide us between sheep and goats. And the sheep are the ones that were kind to folks. And listen to this. The ones that were kind to Jesus, they don't even know when they did it because they were kind to human beings. Because they said, when were we kind to you? When did we give you water? And he said, whatever you did to the least of these of mine, you did to me. So you're not even going to know. That's why you got to be kind to folks. And you got to be... You know, like Samaritan's Purse, you got to be there in this time of crisis and just help people out because you don't know in the end. Because if you don't do that, despite what people tell you, if you don't do that, you could be a goat nation. You could be a goat individual. Listen to this alarm going right now. That is a missile coming in to southern Israel right now. That's the alarm, the red alert. Father God, we just pray protection over Israel right now. We ask you right now, Father God, that you would stop that missile and prevent it from coming into the land in Jesus' name. We are going to go to Life in a Rocket Town, a segment done by CNN a little while back to get a perspective.
CBN?
CBN. I'm sorry. Yeah, CBN. On what it's like to be able to live in Gaza's fury, kind of getting a perspective, because now things have cranked it up a huge notch. Mm-hmm. But to get a perspective, because children are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder and these different things, you know, you're going to hear about this particular lady that was her house was bombed, and now you're looking at a constant bombardment coming in over Israel. To get a perspective, and you're going to see how close Gaza is to Israel. And we'll be right back. Take a look.
Thanks, Julie. No one knows more about the deadly missile attacks on Israel than the people who live in the community of Sderot. It's on the border with Gaza, and people there have lived on the front lines of this ongoing battle. CBN's Scott Ross recently visited that town to see what it's like to live under constant fire.
They call it Rocket Town, the bomb shelter capital of the world. For more than a decade, Israelis in Sderot and southern Israel have lived under almost daily rocket attacks from the Gaza Strip.
Is this representative of what you're dealing with here all the time?
The truth is, this is a very small fraction of the rockets themselves that exploded here in the region itself.
You have people getting killed here in your town?
We had over 44 people being killed overall by rocket fire. Over 1,200 been seriously injured. At the same time, you have an entire generation that grew up with this kind of reality of firing, of sirens going off.
David Buskila was born and raised in Sderot and has been the city's mayor for 14 years.
You love this town, you love the people.
Of course.
Yes.
Someone that not love this town cannot live here.
Day by day, you have to deal with this lifestyle where rockets are being showered literally upon you. How does one adjust to that, if you ever do, really?
In April 2001, it was the first missile that launched to this city. Since then, we had more than 8,000 missiles.
8,000?
8,000 missiles that land only in Sderot. It's a little town, 5.5 square kilometers. 25,000 people live here. And you can imagine that 8,000 hit almost every apartment, every house in this city.
Buskila says many Israelis here suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. The mayor took me to a hill on the edge of town where we could see just how close the Gaza Strip is.
This is the border. It's 840 meters. It's the meaning is something like half a mile.
They could fire rockets at these towers and knock them down, and
they launch the rockets to the electric power station.
Yes, you supply Gaza.
We gave them electric, and they launch rockets to block the electric power station, then to complain that they have darkness in Gaza. You see, this is not normal.
Everyone who drives in Sderot turns off the radio and rolls the windows down, ready to hear the color red siren to make a mad dash for safety.
And here I am in a playground where kids come and play. Here's a caterpillar, and anywhere else in the world, this would be a normal caterpillar. However, this is a bit different. This is, in fact, a bomb shelter. So when kids come out here to play, a siren goes off. They have 15 seconds to get inside here to be protected from falling bombs.
How does this environment affect children as they're growing up?
Only yesterday I was talking to one of my friends that her boy is in our kindergarten too. We had two alarms yesterday or the day before, I don't remember. And he was so panicked that she had to get out of work and come and get him. And he is only 2 years old.
Hagar Aloni is Sderot's social worker.
We have to be aware of where a bomb shelter is, right?
Right there, yeah.
Okay, tell me where to run in case something lands.
Okay.
Here.
Nothing moved me more than meeting Geut Aragon. In January 2008, she was sitting in her home with her four-year-old son near and a neighbor child on her lap. A rocket crashed through the room where they were sitting.
The bomb came through the wall into the room. All the roof was crushed on us from the, how you say it?
Explosion.
Yeah, the explosion. The girl was, you know, fly to the corner. There was four shrapnels in my head.
Yeah.
And in, they operated and they took out three of them, but one of them, they, it get deep into the brains, so they don't want to touch it.
Gayut was in rehab for a year and a half, but that wasn't the end of her trouble. Nearly 5 years later, her son is still afraid to sleep in his room. The family has to run to the bomb shelter, sometimes three times a night. So why does she stay?
It's my country. It's my city. I was born here.
Right.
I love it. If you want to move, you need to sell the house. No one wants to buy a house in Sderot. No one wants to come from outside to live under bombing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to tell you, even that, we very love this city.
How does it affect you now when you hear the rockets landing? Because they're still shooting them here.
Every time I heard the siren, it takes me back then.
Yeah.
And when I go down to the shelter, I'm sitting and I start crying every time and again.
Do you believe that God protected you?
Yeah, yeah.
You do believe that?
I believe that, yeah.
You're not angry?
Totally.
You're not angry with God because he allowed it to happen?
No. I think now, and I thought back then, that it was a miracle. And
oh, yeah.
He protect on me, and he leaves me here in this world living
right.
for my boys because... And I thank him every morning. I never was that believer, you know?
No.
But since day, I believe more in God.
Scott Ross, CBN, Sderot, Israel.
I think of Psalms 121, verse 4, says, God watches over Israel, and we will neither slumber nor sleep. He's seeing what's happening today in Israel. He's seeing our response. I think about Joel chapter 3, verse 2, when he says, I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I will put them on trial for what they did to my inheritance, my people Israel. This is God. And I think about Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. He says, I, God, will bless those who bless you, Israel. And whoever curses you, whoever does this harm to you, I will curse them. Think about it. And I'll bless all the people on earth through you. This is the God that we serve. And I think about Pastor Martin, who's speaking of during the times of the Holocaust and all the tragedy that was taking place because it was many people that were being taken down. And it was a systematic Saul Alinsky method before even Saul Alinsky began to even walk in that. Because as Saul Alinsky said in his book, Rules for Radicals, this was started in the presence of God by Lucifer, who organized the third of the angels. But this is what he said. He said, first they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I'm not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I didn't speak out because I am not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I'm not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me.
Mm.
Understand, you can't wait too late because it's not going to work. Today's the day you stand up. This is the pushing force. The pushing force is JJ. The push, which stands, you know, I say that, but that stands for first the Jews, then Jesus, which is the Christians. First the Saturday people, then the Sunday people. I mean, that's their strategy. But if you stand up and position yourself like Jehoshaphat did and hear from the Lord, he will give us a strategy and reveal to us a way that he's going to take down this enemy before us as we begin to praise him and declare his goodness, and God will turn this whole thing around. And I believe if we do this, if America stands with Israel, America's going to see new days and a third great awakening. Make sure that you stand. Download the app. It is the Israel Red Alert app. Find out more at VFNTV.com. And dear God, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the peace of Israel, and the protection and the wisdom of God for these soldiers and for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and all those who live in Israel. In Jesus' name. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.